Football fans, the wait is over. Playoff football is back in action this weekend, and now with Bet365, you can get in on it too. Starting Thursday, Bet365 is offering to double your money with a super boost on one or more passing yards in the Denver versus Buffalo game. That's right, all it takes is one single yard. So even if your team doesn't start strong, you can. Only with Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Select markets only. Minimum, maximum, wager, and fixed boost percentage applies. Super boost for single bets only. T&Cs and restrictions apply.
Welcome to a new episode of the Forecast F1 podcast, and we're recording after the Canadian Grand Prix, and I'm joined here by Samantha Horvat. Welcome back, Sam, and were you able to check out some of the sessions live at the track?
Yes, thank you, and I most certainly was. It was fantastic weather this year, which is a nice pleasant surprise considering the last few years. But it was a great weekend overall, and as always, I'm excited to talk about it.
Yeah, the one weekend that I'm not joining you in Canada for the race, it doesn't rain. It seems to things seem to be related. Yeah, but we're also being joined by a special guest this weekend, and we're very honored for you to come on our podcast, Hadi. So we're being joined by Hadi Noah Mimassi from Canada as well. He's a F4 driver in the Central European Zone Championship of F4, and well, like I was saying, we're very happy to have you on. And to kick things off, perhaps, you know, you could tell the listeners of our podcast a little bit about yourself and how you started to get into racing. And, you know, we're very curious to hear about your story.
So, yeah, I pretty much got into racing because I've always been interested in cars, like from a young age, and anything with like wheels or steering wheels on it, I was interested in it. And I started karting like in properly when I was I think 7 in a Bambino class in the UK, doing test days at local circuits and in a Bambino, pretty much just to get me doing laps in a kart, and then sort of stuck with karting for a while, like graduated through the different ranks of karting, cadets, junior, senior, and then made my way to cars.
And what would I, with the transition between from karts to single seaters, like what would you say is maybe the biggest technical or mental adjustments that come with that?
Definitely the way you brake is quite different, and the fact that you're shifting gears, and in a kart you're not, unless you drive a KZ, so yeah.
I'm guessing the speed is probably a different element as well.
Yeah, but I mean, a kart still feels very quick since there's nothing around you, and you're as low to the ground as you are in a single seater as well. There's a lot less protection in a kart than there is in a car.
Fair enough.
And currently, you're racing in a F4 for the first year, right?
Yeah, this is my first year.
And how does that feel like? How's the? I suppose it's a very competitive environment. How you? How does it feel compared to anything you've done prior to this?
Yeah, it's a lot different. Just you know, the racing. It's very competitive with you know guys that have been doing it for 2 years already. Yeah, it's some tough competition out there.
I can imagine. I if I'm not mistaken, you because you've had 3 race weekends thus far this season, and if I recall well, your first weekend you're quite unfortunate in your first race. I think you DNF'd there, and then getting into, I mean, was it the second race weekend where you got a overall podium, right? You were third place in the second race at the Red Bull Ring, or the first race the second weekend?
Second. It was the second race of the second weekend at the Red Bull Ring. I managed to get the podium. Yeah,
that must have been a good feeling.
Yeah, it was a good feeling as well because I mean, we haven't not done anywhere near as much preparation as some other guys, and it's my first year, so it feels good to get a podium.
Well, speaking of that, I would say, like, with the pressure, the expectation currently in this year, what would you say keeps you grounded and focused through the highs and lows?
Well, it's, I try to enjoy it as much as possible, because without Rally Replay, I wouldn't be doing this at all, of this championship at all, without Rally Replay. So yeah, I try to enjoy it, but I mean, it's sometimes it's quite annoying, you know, just like being a bit slow first few sessions, just getting used to the tracks. I've never been there, and sometimes like between the rounds, I go like 6 weeks without driving anything, so I have to do a lot of laps on the simulator to keep up.
Right, there's quite a lot of time in between races. I also felt that the way the weekends are set up, with, because you guys have three races throughout a weekend, and then so you have one qualifying session where you qualify for the first race, and then the starting grid positions of the second and third race are depending on how you finish the first race, right? So there's quite a bit of pressure on that first race, getting things right, because it influences the rest of your weekend so much.
Yeah, the first race is definitely probably as important as qualifying, because it sets the grid for the next two. And if you have a good starting, if you start at the front, you most likely finish at the front.
Interesting. I would say obviously you've raced some pretty iconic circuits. What would you say is the one that's either the most memorable or the one that is your favorite?
The most memorable is probably the Red Bull Ring, because I did two rounds there and I got a podium at one of them.
Right.
So I'd say the most memorable is Red Bull Ring.
I don't have any doubts about that one. That would definitely be a memorable one, I can imagine.
Yeah.
Just to kind of go back a little bit to your background, I know that you have grown up partially in Canada and the UK.
Yeah. So I moved to the UK when I was like one or two. I think I was very young.
So you spent most of your life in the UK, I would say. I guess it's fair
most
to say.
Of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. As a Canadian, I mean, it's nice to, even though you've spent maybe a year here, it's still nice to have, I guess, a little bit of a dual background.
Yeah.
It's in some
still
respects.
Counts with the flag next to your name.
Yeah.
That's right. What would you say, like, right now, you're a part of the Young Driver Program for Formel Austria, but what would you say is one of the most valuable lessons you've taken from the academy so far?
Definitely the media training has helped a lot that the academy offers. It's helped me a lot with the media, just getting used to being on camera and doing interviews, practicing interviews. Yeah, they do a great job with that.
It's interesting to hear that it's something that's related to media rather than racing. It's not the first thing that would come to my mind, but it's actually, of course, it's also a big part of building your career for sure. One thing I was wondering about is, so you live in the UK, you're doing all the travel. I suppose it must be a lot of traveling, right? Because now you've done three rounds that were all in Austria, but you're also still going to Czech Republic for two more rounds, and you're going to Slovakia as well. I suppose it's a lot of traveling back and forth, no?
Yeah, it's quite a lot of travels back and forth, but at least the flights aren't too long.
Right, that is an advantage, but still, I suppose not easy to... I mean, you also had... you're also doing training days. How does that work? Because of all the... like, between the race weekends, like we were saying, you have six rounds, and then each round has three races. So there is a decent amount of races, but there's a lot of waiting time between each weekend. Do you do other series? Do you do other races? How do you keep yourself busy between the different race weekends for F4?
I go on the simulator. That's all I can do. Just go do laps on the simulator.
Right.
And going to the gym as well to make sure I'm as fit as possible, because if the fitter I am, the better I'm going to perform.
And you're part of the Renault Motorsport setup, so you have two teammates, if I'm not wrong. You have your teammates with Simon Schrans and William Carlsen.
I think William was just for one round, with Simon for the whole season.
Right. I think he was only in the second round, right? But he got on the same podium as you did.
Yeah, we both got a podium in race two, me and William.
And how's the dynamics with driving with your teammates? Do you learn a lot from each other? Are you very competitive? How's that?
Yeah, William is obviously a very fast driver. He's very quick. So it's good to have him driving the same weekend as me, because I can learn a lot from him.
And you're currently on P7 in the championship, if I'm not mistaken. So you're ahead of your other teammate. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm P7 in the championship currently.
Right. Just a couple of points behind Mathilde Paats, actually, who was driving in F1 Academy this weekend. Sam, I think you saw her on track.
That's right. I did. She happened to win the wild card for F1 Academy, and which was fantastic. So it was really nice to see her on the track. I mean, F1 Academy obviously is continuing to evolve, and I believe they will be on the Canadian Grand Prix calendar for several years to come at this point. So it was very nice to see her on the track, and also to see all the women from the F1 Academy in their race and their qualifying. It was very exciting. But I have a few other questions, Hadi. So speaking of the Canadian Grand Prix, or just Formula One in general, looking ahead, let's say, for yourself in the next 3 to 5 years, ideally, what is your dream scenario?
My dream scenario would obviously be an F1 driver. But, I mean, that's, if we're looking realistically, it's just very hard to get there. Like, without the proper sponsorship backing and a lot of, you need to have a lot of money. And you still need to be very good, but more money.
If you could model your racing style or your, let's say, your current career after any driver, past or present, who would it be and why?
Probably Antonelli, because he got to F1 so quick. He did like 2 years in cars, then straight to F1.
And he got on the podium this weekend, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, some role model to have.
Yeah, absolutely. What about car, like current F1 car? If you were to look at the cars that are on the grid right now and say which one you would have an opportunity to sit in, is there anyone that you have a preference for?
No, any.
Yeah. I think so as well. Well, maybe Anton, we can get a little bit into talking about the race weekend, since we've highlighted a bit, and maybe go over all of our thoughts from this weekend.
Yeah, sure. What I was wondering too, Hadi, is like you were mentioning Antonelli, but if you look at the current grid of F1, what is your what teams or what drivers do you like? Do you have any specific preferences for drivers or teams?
Yeah, I like Max.
Nice. All right. So, I think it's a good point. Let's talk a little bit about the weekend. Well, Sam, you were there for qualifying. Let's talk a little bit about the Saturday. We were both there last year when actually the lineup for qualifying was the same as it was this year with Russell and Verstappen. But back then they were even closer, because if I'm not mistaken, they set the same qualifying time 1 year ago. But Russell took pole again. How was it to be there, and what did you see?
It was exciting. There's no shortage of excitement during qualifying, I find, on this track. I felt like going into qualifying, seeing the practice sessions, The Mercedes definitely seemed pretty strong, and Russell seems to do well on this track. So it was great. I would say, however, with Leclerc and the unfortunate incident with Isaac, it would have been interesting to see where he ended up, because he was really on a flyer. And I felt like that could have potentially changed the result. But all in all, typically or historically, the driver that does get pole ends up usually winning the race. So it was a very big, important pole position for Russell to obtain.
Yeah, other than that, I think a couple of takeaways were that actually Colapinto did fairly well. I think qualifying this year was probably his best.
Football fans, the wait is over. Playoff football is back in action this weekend, and now with Bet365, you can get in on it too. Starting Thursday, Bet365 is offering to double your money with a super boost on one or more passing yards in the Denver versus Buffalo game. That's right, all it takes is one single yard. So even if your team doesn't start strong, you can. Only with Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Select markets only. Minimum, maximum, wager, and fixed boost percentage applies. Super boost for single bets only. T&Cs and restrictions apply.
Best weekend, getting doing 12th place. And yeah, you mentioned Hadjar there, who ended up getting a penalty also for blocking Sainz, who because of it wasn't able to progress to Q2. But all in all, a very very interesting qualifying, especially also because it was it's also clear from that McLaren wasn't as easily up front as they have been a couple of other weekends this year. Of course, Norris had a tough time qualifying only seventh. Piastri put it on third, but interesting to see actually a Mercedes and the Red Bull in front of them, and also Antonelli quite following quite closely behind it. Hamilton, I think, for a second time in a row out qualifying Leclerc. You mentioned Leclerc there, a little bit unfortunate as well, and one Williams making it into the Q3 session as well, and the other Red Bull didn't. Seems to be a reoccurring trend as well. Would like to hear actually from both of you, moving towards the Sunday. We've been asking this on the podcast frequently now. I would like to hear from both of you, who were your drivers of the day, if you'd have to vote.
Ooh, Adi, you go first. I'm more interested to hear your thoughts on this.
It has a lot of drivers that drove a great race, but I'd say George. I'd say drove a really good race to hold the lead and just control the race from the start to finish.
Yeah, I think that's a definitely a good one. I'm gonna go just for because it's the first time he secured the podium. I'm gonna go with Kimi. Just simply, I think he had a very good start to the race that pretty much solidified his ability to finish P3 and get on the podium. And it's his first podium win, so I'll go with that. And I'm pretty sure he did get driver of the day by the fans as well. But I think ultimately this was Russell's race and Russell's weekend as well. So I do agree with you, Hadi, on the fact that he had a fantastic race altogether.
Yeah, I think we can conclude that both of you picking two different Mercedes drivers, that it was a very good weekend for Mercedes overall. And yeah, I agree. It's those weekends where you hardly see the driver up front on television. That's usually the most dominant weekends. We've seen that in the past with Verstappen, and before that with Hamilton. You know, if you're thus far ahead, although it's interesting because the gap towards Verstappen was never really huge, but still it always felt like Russell was going to claim that win. You mentioned Antonelli there. He of course did hard work at the beginning, overtaking Piastri there at the start, which was I think a pretty clean start if we look at it. And I think it was a very good overtake there from Antonelli, which actually, if you're looking at it with hindsight, probably that overtake plus perhaps the coming together of the two McLaren drivers at the end, that's what got him the podium. I don't know what would have happened if Norris would have overtaken Piastri there, because there were still a couple of laps to go, which we finished under a safety car. But I don't know if Norris seemed very, very quick at that last stint on track, and I don't know if he would have gotten close or be able to challenge Antonelli there. But I guess we'll never know. And I guess I'm hitting there on the the discussion point that is an interesting one, is the coming together of the two McLarens.
Yes. Hadi, what were your thoughts? Do you think that, because we've talked about it at length when it comes to being in a position where the drivers are battling against each other, two teammates, And I think both Anton and I have previously through the podcast communicated the fact that we love to see teammates like on track battles. But ultimately, I think this season it was inevitable that we were going to maybe see something like this. But what is your thoughts when it comes to teammate on track battles? Do you think that it's something that should happen? Do you think, and ultimately, what is your overall thoughts on the incident that occurred? I think it was 5 laps to go in the race.
I think teammate battles are entertaining to watch. And I think with the crash, I think Oscar was already pretty much fully on the inside because he saw Lando had a better exit and he was already moving to defend before Lando pulled out. By the time Lando pulled out, he was already on the grass anyway. So I think it was more towards Lando.
If I'm not mistaken, talking about teammates coming together, wasn't it in your first weekend you got together with your teammate as well, which I mean wasn't either of your fault. I think if I'm not mistaken, Simon was being pushed towards the outside of the track and that way got together with you. Is that right?
Yeah, there was someone on the inside that lost their front wing and couldn't turn and pushed Simon into me.
Right. Yeah. Unfortunate. So, but you do, you do get some experience on that. I guess, you know, it's all part of racing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's a pretty big point haul this way for Piastri, finishing fourth, getting 12 points over Norris, who wouldn't get any points. Actually, even received a penalty afterwards. But because he completed 90% of the race, he got a classifying time on the board, so that 5 seconds applies to this race, not to Austria, because I feel like it would have been a bit of a shame if he would have had to take a grip penalty for Austria. I guess also Verstappen finishing 2 spots ahead of Piastri and gaining some points on him, but also gaining a lot on Norris. I think we're still looking at a gap of 43 points, but is the championship battle, of course it is still alive between Norris and Piastri, but can you count Verstappen out?
No, I think he's always going to be there, so you can't count him out.
Yeah, I agree. I think that he's just watching him this weekend as well, when you watch him live, I mean, it's unreal, his skill and his ability. And so I definitely agree with you as well, Hadi. I don't think that you can ever count Max out.
And apart from what happened at the very front of the grid, I think there's a couple of other drivers that should be mentioned. First for me, I think you voted him driver of the day last race, Sam, but Nico Hülkenberg again finishing in the points, and that for me was very, very impressive. I think he's he was actually one of the few that went for a one stop. Actually, Ocon did the same thing, but just in the reverse strategy. Actually, Hülkenberg started on the medium, ended on the hard, and Ocon did it the other way around. But 2 point scores that weren't perhaps very, very highly. Actually, we're gonna look at it a little bit later on in the podcast, looking at the quiz, how many people actually predicted Hülkenberg and Ocon on these finishing positions. But very good races for the two of them. Actually, the 200th race for Haas in F1 and scoring points in that weekend. So that's quite an achievement for them.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a great result. And like you touched on there with Nico, I mean, I think he had moments in the race where he was able to really capitalize upon some other disadvantages that were taking place with other drivers, and he seems to be in the right place at the right time, and he makes the right timely decision, and it's benefited him in the last 2 races. So again, I think a fantastic result. He also did fairly well during qualifying as well. So I think we're seeing a much more when it comes to Haas and it comes to Sauber, we're seeing them definitely improve recently in their results and start to become more of a conversation when it comes to midfield cars.
talking about the improvement of midfield cars. Alonso scoring points again. That Aston Martin seems to be improving in the last couple of races. Of course, Alonso has been unlucky here and there in the last couple of races, but I think you can. It's fair to say that the Aston Martin has been performing better and better in the hands of Fernando. I think Stroll, on the other hand, he got a penalty as well, but it wasn't. Wasn't his greatest home race, and actually he has fairly consistently been scoring points in Canada, but this weekend wasn't one of those. I don't know if the two Canadians want to comment further on Stroll's performance this weekend.
It wasn't his best performance.
Yeah,
he usually has a good record around this track. So.
Yeah, I agree.
And then I guess what's left to talk about is the two Ferraris, which, well, we touched on it for qualifying. Actually, Hamilton was ahead of Leclerc, but again, Leclerc finishing ahead of Hamilton. Of course, Hamilton did have damage from hitting a groundhog, if I'm not mistaken. At least I haven't seen it, but that's what I heard afterwards. So must have lost a couple of downforce points there. And Leclerc, even though a couple of somewhat uncomfortable radio messages we were hearing on pitting, at which point yes or no, plan B, plan C. We actually had the same with Albon. It seemed a little bit stiff, the communication there, although we also, I always wonder, you know, how much is being broadcasted specifically from Ferrari, from when things do seem stiff, and you know, to what extent they broadcast that when in other teams there's of course also similar discussions. And I'm actually, I don't know if you guys, what your thoughts are on the choices for tires for this weekend, going one set softer than we did last year, going again for the C6 as the softest tire, just as we did for Monaco, and what was the other race, Imola, I think, if I'm not mistaken. We had a medium tire that last year was the softest tire, and our hard tire was the medium tire last year. So I guess that caused a little bit of uncertainty ahead of the race on you know, whether it was going to be a one stop or a two stop. As I mentioned, there were several different strategies. It was interesting to see that Leclerc and Norris went were the only two in the top 10 that went on hard tires at the start. But the medium tire didn't seem to work out that well, which is, I guess, the reason why there was so much frustration on Albon's side. But what are you guys' thoughts, Hadi? What do you think about the different tire sets that were chosen for this weekend, and in general, how does that compare actually to F4? Can you talk a little bit about that and tires that you guys are using?
We use the same tire make, Pirelli, obviously, but we only have one compound. We don't have three different ones. We have just the one compound of Pirelli tires.
Do you also have only one compound for wet weather, or do you have an intermediate and a wet tire?
No, we just have one wet tire and one slick tire. That's it. No different compounds.
Right,
just a wet and a dry.
So it's even more difficult to get it right when the crossover point is.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, if the track is half wet, half dry, but if you go wet, then you might end up, you know, ruining the wet tire, because there won't be enough water for the wet tires. So although it's the track's still really slippy, it could still be slicks, because there's no in between tire. There's no tire in between the wet and the slick.
You have had some rain during this weekend during this year already, right?
Well, not as much as I would have liked, but yeah.
You feel you're good in.
You and Anton seem to have the same opinion on that.
Yeah, but it's interesting to hear. You feel you're a good driver in rain conditions.
Yeah, because I think in the rain, it makes it equal for everyone. It levels it out.
Right.
So that's why I like the rain more.
That's a very good point.
Well, I wish you a bit of rain on in the upcoming weekends then.
Yeah. Thanks.
We're definitely going to follow that. Sam, I don't know if you have any other remarks on the race, or do you want to go to forecast scores?
You know, I don't think so. I think that we've covered pretty much the most important points. The only thing that I would say is You know, I personally was really looking forward to seeing how Williams was going to turn out this weekend. I felt like during the practice sessions, they were looking really strong. And it was unfortunate that they had like a series of, it just seemed like it wasn't their weekend, overall. But I will say one thing that was pretty impressive was Albon during qualifying. If he came back, and I was there to watch the car come back, they put what had fallen off the car back together, and he came out for one single lap and managed to snake into Q3, and that was pretty impressive. So I think that's the only thing that I would mention, and in terms of Williams and their performance. But ultimately, I think we've covered everything. Hadi, is there anything that you wanted to mention when it comes to the race or the overall race weekend that you thought of?
No, I think we've gone over everything that happened that was important and exciting.
I wonder about one thing though, which I find interesting to analyze. I know that the FIA they're being more strict on cars, not allowing cars to return to the pits when they have damage and they're leaving damage off track. So, for example, we saw that Lance Stroll, for example, had to. He was told on the radio that he should stop his car and should not get back into the pits. But actually, the incident there that you mentioned with Albon causing the red flag, but still driving back to the pits, and because of it, actually, that way he was able to still set a time which got him into the next session of qualifying. So I felt that was interesting, just to, you know, just to analyze how these decisions are being made, because, you know, it actually makes a huge difference. I mean, if Albon wouldn't have been able to get back into the pits because of his car, basically, I mean, it was just a bare car, like all the bodywork was off. Yeah, if he wouldn't have been allowed to get back into the pits, he would also not have been able to set that time later on in that session and wouldn't have progressed. So, just that consistency, I find interesting. Also, talking about consistency, also the penalizing of Norris getting together with his teammate. Sometimes it seems like, you know, when two teammates collide, it's not being investigated as often as other times. I don't recall too many investigations or penalties of teammates coming together. The only one that comes to mind was the Gasly Ocon just before the tunnel in Monaco. I think that was last year. Was it 2023 or 20? No, I think it was last year. So, yeah, it's interesting to look at what occasions they do investigate that and in which occasions they don't. And I don't feel like that's always as consistent as it could be. Same with this getting back into the pits with a damaged car, yes or no, or park it. Other than that, I also think we talked about most of the F1 weekend. So let's go to scores.
All right. Okay, Anton. So let's go over the results and also how many people played the prediction forecast one game this weekend.
All right, yes. Yeah. So we had 1,466 people making prediction this weekend. And interestingly, first, I would like to ask both of you, how many people out of 1,466 do you think correctly predicted this podium in this exact order? So with Russell winning it, Verstappen on P2 and Antonelli on P3.
Say maybe 50.
Okay, I am going to say 13.
All right, so it was very, very, well, actually, it was only one person who got this podium in this order exactly, right? Interestingly,
congratulations
though,
to them.
but it didn't get them the win. So that was actually Jason Binding from Australia. That got him 58 points for a correct podium, but with the other positions, didn't get a lot right. Scored 67 points and only got him a P3 for the weekend. And on P2 for this weekend, we had Julia Bauer from Austria scoring 69.4 points. And that's actually Julia, her second podium in forecast. She was P3 in the Australian 2024 race. So congratulations to Julia getting on the podium for the second time. And on P P1 for this weekend is Kevin Rivadeneira from Spain, scoring 73.5 points. He got P1 correct, P2 correct. Now, he had Norris on P3, so didn't get those points, but he had Piastri on P4, he had Leclerc on P5, and Hamilton on P6. So those were correct, P1, 2, 4, 5, and 6. So that got him 73.5 points, and that got him the win.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, I think, again, like, who the scoring the correct podium is a very bold prediction, I think, at the end of the day, especially more so putting Kimi in the third spot. I can't say that I would have been as brave, and obviously everybody else wasn't as well, but it benefited them, and congratulations to the top three.
Yeah, we're going to have a look at how many people exactly put Kimi there on that third spot. But before that, I want to look at the overall championship. And let's move to who was on P1 after our last race. That was Cesar Hurtua from Colombia. He got on that first spot after the race in Spain, but he's leaving it straight away, unfortunately. Scored only 29 points and is dropping to P3. So he's still in the top three. Harry Daimling, who was on P2 from Czech Republic, scored 28.6 points, drops to P6. And we have, let's have a look at our P3 from last weekend. That was Jordi Schoonewille. He scores only 20 points, so he even drops further down to P16. So that means we have a new P1 and a new P2. On P2, we now have Sunay Dornala from India. He scored 39.5 points, and he's moving up from P5 to P2. And on P1, a new leader in the championship is Filippo Morelli from Italy, scoring 60.4 points. So he was previously on P6 and is now on P1.
Well, that's really cool that there is a new person on P1, and it only continues to create more depth in terms of the competition.
Yeah, it seems to be a bit of a trend this year with a lot of position changes, very different from last year, actually. Sam, I'm going to ask you the same question as I always do. From which players do you think we had the most players this weekend? I want to hear a top three.
I don't think that we're seeing a change. I'm going to go with Kenya. In order, I'm going to go with Kenya, Spain, and Mexico.
Yeah, so we actually did have a change. It is indeed Kenya on one, Spain on two, and Argentina picked that third spot with 66 players, actually just two more than we had from Mexico. So that's interesting. We also had players from two new countries. Actually, they are returning players. They were playing also last year. So we had somebody from Montenegro and somebody from Congo. Actually, that player from Congo won the Dutch Grand Prix in Forecast in 2023. That's Chaday Kadongo. So welcome back. And looking at the country list, we see that the Dominican Republic passes Italy and Bolivia to get to P13. And actually, the country with the most places gained this weekend was Cambodia, moving up seven places in the championship. And that brings us to our predictions. So, Sam, I'm first going to ask, what did you predict for the Canadian Grand Prix? What was your podium?
It was not clearly anywhere close to the result, but I went with a Norris win. I went with Russell, I believe, in P2, and P3 I went with Max.
No, actually, with P3 you went with Hamilton.
Or P3 I went Hamilton, right? See, I can't even remember my own picks. I will say this, the reason why I went with Hamilton is because when I was watching him during the practice sessions, he seemed to be doing really well. And I just felt like, you know, if you take into last year and even his previous years, he typically does well during the Canadian Grand Prix on this track. Last year was his first win of the season here in Canada. So I was just thinking that maybe it was going to happen. But that's right. I went with Max P4. If my memory serves me well, in Piastri P5.
And Hadi, I asked you to make a prediction as well ahead of this weekend. Do you recall what you put for the podium?
I think I put Max P2, Max P1. I don't remember what I put for the podium, but it wasn't right.
No. Well, you got you had Norris on P2 and you had Piastri on P3, and the interesting thing is that actually Sam and Huddy, you guys scored exactly the same amount of points. You both scored 29.3 points.
So, wow, look at that.
Right.
Very, very competitive. P729 for both of you. I shouldn't be laughing because I ended up with fewer points than both of you. I scored only 27.6. So I had a podium of Piastri, Norris, and Verstappen, ending up on P830 myself. Yeah, Sam, actually both of us are dropping in the overall championship. You were on P122 and you dropped to 136. I was on P573 and I dropped to P586. So I think not our best weekends, but we'll get back, I'm pretty sure. They're difficult ones to predict, and it's going to be very interesting to look towards Austria, which, well, if anybody knows something about that track, that would be Huddy.
Yeah.
So gonna be an interesting weekend. But before that, I would like to look at how many people predicted each finishing position correct, and as we always do, we'll make a quiz on that. So what we're going to do is we're going to go from P1 down the line to P10, and both of you need to guess how many people had each driver predicted in the correct position. So as I mentioned, we had 1,466 people playing the game, and Sam, I'm going to ask you first, how many out of those 1,466 do you think put Russell on P1?
I am going to go with 34.
All right. Huddy, what do you think? How many people put Russell on P1?
Say maybe 80.
Okay. Well, that first point is going Huddy's way, because you're actually very, very close to the right answer. It was 76 people that predicted Russell to win this race. I guess, you know, after seeing FP1 and FP2, where Russell was very quick, there were already quite a decent amount of people that had faith in Russell, because if we look at the previous races, there was much fewer people who predicted him to win it. So 76 people, only four away from the right answer, Huddy. So that's a first point for you. And that means we move to Verstappen on P2. So how many out of those 1,466 people put Verstappen on P2?
I'm going to go 80 again.
Okay. I feel like I'm going to go with a big number. I don't know. I'm going to go with 652.
Okay, well, it is more than the 80 that Huddy went with, but you overdid it, Sam. It was 266, so that actually means that Huddy is still close to the right answer. It means a second point for him. Yeah, I think I guess there was a lot of McLaren wins predicted for this weekend, and a lot of McLaren 1-2s as well. But an interesting one is Antonelli on P3. Sam, how many people do you think put Kimi on P3 in their predictions?
I'm going to go with 8.
Yeah, I'm going to go a low number as well. I'm going to say 20.
Sam, you're getting your ass kicked this weekend. Adi's only two away from the right answer. It's 18 people that went with Antonelli on P3. So so 20 is very, very close to the right answer. Let's see if you can even get a point on the board, Sam. We're going to go to Piastri first on P4. That one's for Huddy. How many people put Piastri there?
I'd say quite low again, maybe 45.
That is a good guess. I'm going to go a little higher. I'm going to say 57.
All right. That was the right direction to move towards. It was 105. So that gets you the first point, Sam. It's one against three. And that means you can be... you still have some space to make up. Leclerc, P5, the first Ferrari.
I'm going to go with 87.
I'm going to go 150.
And that's still pretty far away, because a lot of people put Leclerc on P5. It was 454 people.
Wow!
But the 150 gets closer to it than the than the 87 you went with, Sam. So another point for Huddy, four against one. Hamilton on P6, Huddy.
I'm going to maybe 200.
That's pretty good. I was thinking around 200 as well, but I'm going to go a little higher, and I'm going to say 218.
All right, it is indeed higher. It's still higher than that. It's 428. So quite a lot of people who had both Ferraris there on the P5 and the P6. That means we move to Alonso with another point for Sam for Hamilton. Then we go to Alonso on P7.
Alonso. Yeah, that's a good one. I don't think a lot of people would have picked Alonso on the podium, I believe. So, but again, I haven't
not
been
on
right
the podium,
so far.
But it's
so.
P7.
Or, sorry, not the podium. I meant P7. I'm getting scrambled already because I can't pick the right numbers today. I'm going to go with 28.
I'm going to go with 77.
Well, actually, the right answer is somewhat in the middle. Sam, you're only 22 away from the right answer. And Hadi, you're 27 away from the right answer. It was 50 people that picked Alonso on
close.
P7. So that means it's a point for Sam. It's 3-4. And we're going to Nico Hülkenberg on P8, Hadi.
I mean, after Spain, maybe more people predicted him to get points. Maybe 41.
Oh, that's a good guess. I feel pressure. I'm gonna stick to the 30s. I'm gonna say 35.
All right, means we're at a tie because it was 10 Ooh. People that went with Hülkenberg on P8.
Only 10.
Indeed. Probably indeed a few more than with Spain, because when we were reviewing the Spanish Grand Prix, we were looking at how many people picked Hülkenberg at all in their top 10. It was very, very few. So a few more, but I suppose most people that did pick him picked him for P10, perhaps P9, but only 10 people that went with him on P8 means we go to Ocon. Ocon finished on... Am I right? Actually, it's Ocon, yeah. I was in my head, Ocon finished behind Sainz, but it was Ocon on P9 and Sainz on P10, of course. So Ocon on P9, Sam.
I'm going to go with a small number here. I'm going to say 4.
7.
All right, means a point for Hadi, because it was 20 people. A few more than I expected as well, but... means it's the last question, P10, Sainz, and that one's first for Hadi.
I'm going to say 24.
Okay, I'm going to go 74.
All right, it's 230, so that actually means we're at a draw. And what I usually do is I prepare a bonus question in case we draw, but I didn't prepare any bonus questions, so I'm going to make one up on the spot.
And normally Anton has like slew of questions, so this is different. I'm surprised you don't have a random one prepared.
All right, but it doesn't matter. We can come up with one. So I'm first going to ask both of you, okay, from all the people playing, which driver do you think was most frequently predicted as P1? I think it's going to be obvious between which two it's going to be, but let's see which ones you go for.
Oscar.
Yeah, I would say Oscar as well. But you know what?
You can go for Oscar if you want. And I make more bonus questions.
You know what? I'm gonna say just because I'm gonna go with Norris just for the sake of it. But I also think that it would probably be Oscar just because of his most recent wins.
All right. Well, that means we're gonna give the win to Hadi because it was indeed Oscar. Actually, it wasn't that far apart though. There were 618 people that went with the Piastri win, and it was 512 people that went with the Norris win. So To finish the list off completely, there was 287 that went with a Verstappen win, 76 with a Russell win that we already concluded, 8 people that went with a Leclerc win, 14 people that went with a Hamilton win, 3 people that had Antonelli on the first spot, 2 people that had Sainz, and there was 1 person that predicted Alonso to win it. There was also 1 person that predicted Tsunoda to win it. He actually finished last this weekend, so yeah, unfortunately.
Wow, a Tsunoda win. That's a bold prediction.
Yeah, that one's yet to come. But who knows? We're going to race again 2 weeks from now in the Red Bull Ring. That's going to be an interesting one. Sam, what are you looking forward to?
It's a great track. I'm looking forward to just overall, based on what we've seen recently with drivers, I'm looking forward to seeing McLaren, seeing where, you know, how they're going to come out after this weekend, and whether or not they're going to bounce back. I'm also interested to see Mercedes. I mean, they also have had a little bit of a bumpy road recently, and then they're coming off the backs of the success of this weekend. So will it be another weekend where we'll see some strength from them? Ferrari is a big question mark. They've clearly had their ups and downs. And so there is a lot of questions when it comes to where we will see them moving forward. So yeah, I think that there's a lot to look forward to. Hadi, like Anton had said, I mean, you obviously have quite experience with this track in particular. What are you looking forward to when it comes to this race? And also, what would you say when it comes to this track specifically that you enjoy the most?
What I'm looking forward to is see if McLaren still have their pace or not after this weekend, if they can go back to where they were before Canada. And I'd say the probably one of the hardest corners to get right is probably the downhill right hander. So if you're turn 1, 2, 3, turn 4, the downhill right, because it's very easy to lock up there because you're braking downhill and you have to brake late, and it's and if you don't make the curb on the inside, you're going to understeer quite a lot.
So very technical, obviously.
I'm looking at the next week. I was just seeing 26, 27, but that's only in July. Is your next weekend, is that right?
I think 5 weeks until my next round.
Yeah. Well, like we were saying, those are big gaps to bridge. It's definitely, I don't know, to keep rhythm. I mean, I understand we're talking about F1, that, you know, there's perhaps too many races on the calendar, but this is the other side of it. I mean, this is, you know, pretty big gap between because your last race was the first week of June, right? So it's almost 2 months.
Yeah.
Well, question for you. I mean, with the long gap periods, aside from obviously working with the simulator and then also training physically, are there any other things that are really important when it comes to preparation before a race weekend?
I think those are really the main two that I can do. Obviously, going to do laps in real life would be the best. But,
right.
Yeah.
But you had training sessions prior to the season as a whole, but you don't, I mean, how many practice sessions do you have typically in a weekend?
It's usually not, well, it depends if there's other like series racing on the same weekend, but if there isn't, then you get quite a lot of track time on the Friday.
Right. Yeah. I suppose that on the simulator, are all the tracks that you guys are racing, are they as well programmed? So like if we compare, let's say, the Red Bull Ring, which is obviously, you know, a circuit that's being raced by F1, but by a lot of series, compare that last race weekend you were in the Salzburg Ring, right? How does that compare on the simulator? Or is it as well programmed, or are there differences?
No, they're both laser scanned, so they're as well programmed as each other.
There's no differences in that sense. Okay.
No.
And it's the same for the other three that are still upcoming.
Yeah, it's the same for the others.
Okay. All right. Interesting.
Very nice. Well, I mean, I think actually my question to you, Anton, because we didn't ask that, what are you looking forward to when it comes to Austria?
Well, it's going to be the first time in a couple of years that it's not a sprint weekend, if I'm not mistaken, because it usually was, and I kind of enjoyed that. And I don't know, I think throughout this year, last year, we've been, you know, initially I wasn't a huge fan of the sprint weekends, but actually I do start to enjoy it. So yeah, that's going to be interesting for Austria. And other than that, well, I think Hadi already touched upon it. I think what is going to be interesting for the championship is just to see to what extent McLaren still has that lead. I think prior to Spain, we were expecting that things might change dramatically in Spain. That didn't happen. What we saw in Canada might indicate that things are getting closer. I mean, I think Red Bull, especially, well, of course, looking at Verstappen, they've a couple of things to be optimistic about. Mercedes do too. Although, yeah, I guess, you know, we don't know exactly. I think it wasn't as cold as what we, you know, we were always saying that the Mercedes functions better in a different temperature window than do some of the other teams, but it wasn't it was actually quite warm in Canada, at least warmer than it was in previous years. You know, I remember that last year we said that you know, because of the weather conditions, that was one of the things contributing to Russell's pole. But Mercedes did well this year with pretty warm temperatures, so it's going to be interesting to see that in Austria as well. What does the weather do? Of course, the track's a little bit at a higher level in terms of sea level as well. So I think air is slightly thinner. Let's see if that plays a role to any extent. So a lot of things to look forward to. And what I always hope is that, you know, we keep an interesting battle until the very end of the season. So let's hope that the teams fighting against McLaren are there to take some to chip away some points from them. But gonna be very interesting, and gonna be very interesting to think about who I'm gonna put on my podium in my predictions as well. So we're definitely gonna give that a couple of thoughts for the next couple of days, weeks actually, because we have a weekend in between.
We definitely do.
Well, Hadi, I would like to really thank you for coming on the podcast. It was really nice to talk to you. It was nice to get some perspective from an actual driver. And I think I can speak for both of us that we wish you all the best of luck, not only luck, but also, some rain, perhaps. This is what you were asking for.
Yeah. So,
we're going to follow you throughout the rest of the season. And keep it up.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me as well.
And then all that remains is me thanking you all for tuning in to listening to the podcast. Make sure to follow us on the socials, follow us on Spotify, and of course, most importantly, make sure that you get the app and make your prediction for the Austrian Grand Prix. And with that, we're going to play the Marcha Real, the Spanish national anthem, because we had a Spanish winner this weekend. So here it is for Kevin Rivadeneira.